Okay.
I'm going to remember.
President, Representative Rosas, Wilson, Gatto, myself, Johnson, Seaton, and Coring. Today, before us, we have confirmation hearings on the Board of Game and Big Game Commercial Services. And I do understand that we have online two of the four. And with everyone's indulgence, we will go ahead and start with Leif Wilson. Leif, are you on?
Yes, sir, I am.
Go ahead. Welcome.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Leif Wilson. I live at 0.5 mile Sourdough Lane in Tok, Alaska. I've been on the Big Game Commercial Services Board for the last year and 2 months, and I'm honored that Governor Palin has elected to reappoint me. I feel that this board is having a positive effect, and hopefully we can do more in the future to raise the standards and improve the industry. Most of the problems facing the industry, unfortunately, don't have easy solutions and answers, and a lot of times involve people's livelihood. I am the president and director of operations for 40 Mile Air. We're a commuter air taxi and hold a big game transporter license number 6. I'm both a airplane and power plant mechanic and an airline transport pilot. I was born in Glen Allen, and I'm a lifelong resident of Alaska. I've hunted, trapped, and fished during most of my life here, including 14 seasons as a deckhand on a gillnetter in Bristol Bay. I've also, for the last 10 years, I've served as a member of the Upper Tanana 40 Mile Fish and Game Advisory Committee here locally. I've been involved with transportation of hunters for the last 23 years. I'm also very familiar with the guide industry, as my father was a guide in Alaska throughout my childhood. I've done a fair amount of flying for several different guides throughout the years. I'm honored to be before you here today, and would be happy to answer any questions you may have of me.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Let the record reflect that all members are present, please. Any questions for Mr. Wilson?
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, this is David Guttenberg. Always delighted to talk to somebody back home from the interior. And I hope you're staying warm.
Yeah, we're doing all right. It's been a little chilly, but actually it was only 35 below this morning, so it's warmed up some.
Well, I'm delighted. I got a phone call on Friday from my house sitter that the house ran out of oil. So,
oh, gosh.
You know, when, it's always something. That's one of the least offensive ones that I can deal with. But I just, you know, your resume is pretty good, and I like the things you're doing. I certainly like being awarded the Frank Galata Award and your statement on the bottom of your page. I do have a question concerning if there's a conflict perceived, or if you could see others having a conflict between being in the air service, air flying service, and the guiding service, and being on this commission. I mean, if you could see any, I mean, I don't, but I'm just wondering if you do see any conflicts or places where they don't quite meet, or there might be tension between your commercial participation and somebody else's, where somebody might say that there's another guiding service or something, or another air service might say that your actions are unfair to others.
You mean because we are a air taxi?
Yeah.
Well, when we transport hunters, we are operating under our transporter license and have to comply with all of those regulations in addition to having a 135 air taxi certificate. So, you know, it seems like that's one of the biggest problems is well, I guess it gets down to having a limited resource. And so one of the biggest problems we face is conflicts between user groups and types of access that people have. And so there will be conflicts between, say, you know, guides, transporters, guides that use horses, guides that use airplanes, and the same with transporters, and then with the residents, you know, that may be out there on four wheelers or whatever. So I'm not going to say that there is not any conflicts between people that use airplanes and people that don't. That's how I choose to transport my hunters, and I do that because I think it's a good way to do it. It's a way to get people out to hopefully uncrowded areas, and it's also very low impact. But to answer your question, I think there is some conflicts amongst those groups in my group, but I think no matter who it is, that those are going to be there.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Wilson, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a comment. Leif, do you remember? I have to say that of all the years, of the 4 years I lived in Tok and all the different experiences that were highlights, the time that we went up the Tok River and crossed it several times was probably one of those highlights. And it was a fun time, and I just know that you do a good job with what you do, and so I thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson, this is Representative Gatto. Just trying to clarify something here. I notice on the application it's dated 3/15/06 and it's stamped in on 3/15/06. Just looking at the procedure, and since you're actively involved in the procedure, is it fairly typical to have an application in there in March and literally almost a year later have it come before this group?
Well, I'm unsure of that. I believe that they probably, I was appointed originally a little over a year ago by Governor Murkowski, then Governor Murkowski, and it was, he appointed me late, and so I only had a portion of a term. And apparently what they have done is just taken my application from then and used it now.
I see. Is there anything, if you were writing this application today, is there anything you would add to it that has occurred between the time you actually wrote it and today?
Well, no, other than just my experiences, experience that I've gained by being on the board for the last year and 2 months.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions for Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wilson, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and thank you for your time. And I guess the only question I have is, why would you want to do this?
Well, I kind of wondered that.
That's a good answer.
I feel it's necessary, and I think it's, I'm thankful that the legislature reinstated this board, because I think it needs to be there, and I think we need people on it that can hopefully make a difference and do some good.
This Representative Gatto back again. Do you have any past violations for Fish and Game, or if not you, then children or employees or anyone?
No, sir. I do not have anybody working for me or anybody in my family or myself that has any Fish and Game violations that I know of.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Mr. Wilson, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Is Richard Rohrer on the phone by any chance? Not on yet. Okay, so we will set aside the other appointment to this board, and we will move on to the Board of Game. Bob Bell, are you on?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, before you get started, I think it's important that I declare conflict and be asked not to vote on this. Bob is a constituent and contributed to my campaign, and I'd like to consider him a friend. So I would like to exclude myself from this action.
Chairman?
Yes.
On confirmations, they're not taking votes in committee. All we're doing is reviewing their qualifications, and if the person is qualified, we forward them to a joint committee, so...
I appreciate that.
I don't think that there's any vote to be taken, so I would appreciate you making that
I appreciate that, but I did want it to be on the record.
So, yes, yes, ma'am?
I understand where you're coming from, because I know two of the people personally myself, okay. And so I was wondering when I should, if I should make that declaration, so...
Well, I'm going to object anyway, so you can't. Thank you. Mr. Bell, go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, I didn't contribute that much to his campaign.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, this is Bob Roses. I know Bob real well, and I guarantee he didn't contribute that much.
Representative Roses wants to know why you didn't contribute to his campaign.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did.
You did. Yeah. Well, now that we've maligned you enough, do you have anything else to add, Mr. Bell?
Well, this is the first time I've been through this process, so what do you want me to do here?
Well, I think maybe if you just maybe answer the question I asked last is, why do you want to do this?
Well, you know, actually, that is a good question, and I've been involved in hunting in Alaska for 37 years now, and I see a lot of things that happen out there that I think we could do something about, and the Board of Game is mainly the best vehicle to do that, and so that's my main reason for doing this. I think that I can help make things better and bring a perspective of, for lack of a better term, a wildlife user perspective, and I think that would be helpful.
Thank you. Representative Connor?
Mr. Bell, the application that we have in front of us is dated November of 02?
No. It would have been 06.
The one in front of me that says 02, should that be corrected to 06, or is there a different one for 06?
Oh, that's
no, it should be corrected to 06. That's the only application I've ever made.
Thank you.
Well, you have on it some references. Are those the same references you would have on a new application?
What references?
Well, on page 2, under number 5 references, you list 4 individuals.
Yes, those...
4 work?
I think the 02 date on that is an error.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm pretty sure that's accurate, because if you look at item number 4 on the second page, there's a reference to a book. That book was not printed in 02.
Yeah, it was printed in August of 06.
I'm curious about that book. Is that referring to the legislative process or hunting and fishing?
Hunting and fishing, but, you know, you can do what you want with it.
Any additional questions? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You said your perspective from a user, is this as a hunter or as a guide or... can you describe a little more fully your relationship to the board process and yourself as, and what user group you would identify yourself with?
Well, as a user, I've never been a guide or any commercial activity as far as fish and game is concerned. So it's mainly as a user. And let me give you a good example is, my moose camp that me and my friend set up 20 years ago is in Unit 16B, and I don't know how familiar you are with Unit 16B, but it's currently closed to moose hunting because of the predation, both human and animal, on moose. So I can see the impacts of policies that didn't protect those animals quickly enough to allow the population to crash down like that. So that's the kind of thing that I think I can bring to the board to say, boy, we should have done something about this sooner.
follow-up for Bill Seaton.
Thank you. So I'm getting from that that your use is hunting. Have you also been a trapper?
No, I've never. I was a trapper as a kid back in Washington, but never in Alaska.
Okay, so then to clarify, then your use of the animals is as a sport hunter?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
Yes.
Representative?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bell, and thank you for stepping forward. These are, from what I understand, the boards of game, fish and game are very time-consuming and very intensive in what they require from their members, so I appreciate you stepping forward. On the second page, that doesn't have a date on it when you talk about the book. You also, I guess it's point, it says you're number three, you're a strong advocate for predator control. I'm wondering if that comes before sound science. I mean, would you feel the same about predator control if the science and the biologists said that the problems with the number of moose in your area was due to habitat problems and disease? I'm trying to, you know, there's a great debate in the state, and certainly for some people more than others, that what comes first is sound science or just predator control. And you're going to be on this board that's having a lot to do with that, so I'm just kind of wondering where you feel about that. If the science contradicts predator control, are you going to stand behind the science?
Yes. I'm an engineer, so I tend to side with science. I think that predator control is a good tool that the Fish and Game Department can use to manage our game populations properly. But they do that by the biologists studying and seeing what needs to be done, and then if they need to use that tool, they should. If it's the wrong tool, then they shouldn't use it. And we've got 208 proposals coming before the board next week, and some of them show where the field folks are going out there and seeing that the moose population in some area have eaten the willows down to the point where there's not enough to recover. So there's a place where you might want to. Lower Yukon River is a good example, where the population's jumping up by 27% a year. So that's an area where you have the opposite problem, and you obviously wouldn't want to do predator control there. So I just think it's a tool that needs to be used properly, like any other tool.
Follow up
on another issue. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that answer, Mr. Bell. Representative Seaton has a bill before us that deals with an issue before the board, and I'm just—I don't know if you've had an opportunity to explore it some more, but it's expanding the boundaries of the McNeil River Sanctuary. Have you had a chance to explore that, or do you have an opinion on that?
I'll give you a kind of a wishy-washy answer here. What I know about the McNeil River situation is what I've read in the paper and with a couple of short discussions with the chairman of the board, Ron Somerville, and a brief discussion with the governor. So I haven't had the opportunity to sit down with Fish and Game staff to go into the details of it. I know there's a considerable amount of controversy on it, both in the lower 48 and in Alaska, and I'm sure we'll come up with some kind of solution that's in the best interest. An issue like this, I think we got to look at two things. One, we got to look at the biology of it, what's best for the population, and then the second thing we got to look at, what are the political realities, and I think those two things are going to drive that decision with the board.
Representative Roses,
did I hear you correctly that you have 208 proposals that's coming before the board?
Yes.
Well, I sympathize with you. It sort of sounds like the subcommittee I worked on for ethics and ethics reform. So.
Probably not quite as political as that one, but
don't be so sure.
Yeah. So, Bob, are you suggesting that maybe we should hold your appointment off until after the next meeting?
No, let's just get this over with. So.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions, Representative Steven?
Yeah, Bob, if we were looking at the situation in McNeil and the Department of Fish and Game comes forward and says that the bear population in that area has been declining, and also that they suggest not having a hunt in that area, would your user philosophy tend to override the science and the manager's recommendation to not have a hunt, or would you tend to follow what the fish and game biologists, the management biologists, are suggesting?
I would tend to follow what the biologists are suggesting. You know, as a user of fish and game, I want to make sure that these populations are sustainable. And you can't do that if you don't follow the science. So if you're going to shoot all the bears in that area, or if they're too easy of a target to where the take is going to be too high, you're not helping the population, and you're not helping the users, because the bear population can't sustain that. And that's a philosophy I have, is that if the department comes to us and says, here's solid good science that says you should or should not do this, I'm going to listen very carefully to what they have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions for Mr. Bell? Bob, thanks for tuning in. Sorry we raked you over the coals a little bit, but...
Hey, that never happened to me when I was on the assembly.
I thought we played softball.
We were playing softball. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Appreciate your time and commitment to serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that... I'd like to go to Ben Grusendorf for E1. Mr. Grusendorf?
A good read on me?
I think so. So go ahead. I'll start by asking you the same question. Why in the world would you want to do this?
Well, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, it's something I've always been interested in. Grew up in northern Minnesota and have spent 40 years here in Alaska, and it's been, when I was in the legislative body, whenever somebody had a question on wildlife or birds, they always come to me and ask me questions of it. It just be kind of a natural thing. But, Mr. Chairman, I would like to believe, and it's not necessarily so, but this is what I'd like to believe, is that the people that I work with and for kind of can understand that I've spent a lot of time in the field. And they should know, I hope, after listening and to me, that I am knowledgeable in wildlife and the issues dealing with it, and that in deliberations I'm thoughtful and fair. And, you know, Mr. Chairman, I'm one of those that when I'm in doubt on making a decision dealing with wildlife management, I always give the benefit of the doubt to the beating heart of the critter that we're talking about, and if I'm going to err in making a decision, I certainly hope it's on the side of conservation, because I don't mind people mad at me or upset with me for a season or two, but I'd certainly not like them to be angry for 10 years or more by a decision that has caused a problem with a game population. So philosophically, Mr. Chairman and members, that's kind of my philosophy in a nutshell there. But I hope what I believe is true anyway.
Thank you. Representative Gatto?
Ben, listen, you mentioned you want to rule on the side of the beating heart. The trouble in predator control is it's only picking which heart you want to deal with. So I'm puzzled by the answer.
Mr. Chairman, what I said is that when I'm in doubt, and I'm not sure, I always give the benefit of that doubt to the beating heart of the animal I'm discussing. Now, sometimes you're not in doubt. We have 5 predator controlled areas in the state where there wasn't much doubt. 16B I had some concern with for a while, but later on we got the biological information I needed as to what predator is doing what between the wolves, the black bears, and the brown bears. And you give me the data, and then I don't have any doubts. In other words, it's a rare occasion when you're not quite sure. And when I'm not quite sure, that beating heart gets my nod. Does that clarify it?
Actually not. But I do appreciate your answer. There's a wolf beating heart, and there's a calf beating heart. And the statement that I give my nod to the one with the beating heart, those two are in competition with each other. So I guess when I asked the question, I was unsure what the answer meant.
Oh, I see. Well, see, when you're looking at, you're talking about moose now. When you have an area of which you have a moose, your first thing is to say, well, how many moose do we have in there? And then you say, well, what is the carrying capacity of that habitat that the moose are in? And then you go down and say, well, what's the cow-calf ratio? Is it 30 to 100? What's the bull-cow ratio? Is it 100 cows to 30 bulls, and are they breeding bulls? And then you can get into anything from the rump fat on the habitat and everything else. And then you make your decision. Now, earlier we discussed a situation where the population of the moose is causing habitat problems, 27% increase in the population. You take a different view of predator activity then, as well as human harvest in those areas. So every situation is different with the beating of given hearts in different game management areas.
Any additional questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gristendorf, I didn't have the honor of serving with you. You were out one session before I got in. But I heard many of your speeches on the floor. So let me ask you this. What kind of dog do you have now?
I have a five-year-old, well-trained female German Shepherd. She weighs about 106 pounds. Real good in the woods, good woods dog. Kind of an early warning system, and I can just look at her and tell what the heck is out there.
Any additional questions?
Peggy?
Anyone else, Peggy?
I just wanted to make comments.
I'm sorry.
Just wanted to make comments that you know, this takes a lot of time, especially for people that enjoy being out in the outside. This definitely takes them into a different area, and I really appreciate the willingness to serve for any of these people, because I know their heart's somewhere else, or to be out there itself, and so that is a sacrifice for them to do this, and so I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Mr. Gristendorf, thank you, and thank you for your willingness to serve. I still don't know that you answered the question as to why, but that's okay.
Well.
Thank you. I'm not going to give you a chance to either.
Okay.
Thank you. And with that, we'll go back to Richard Rohrer. Am I pronouncing your name right?
That's close enough, Mr. Chairman. It's Dick Rohrer.
Okay. And I guess I'll start by asking you the same question. Why would you want to do this?
Well, the board is the Big Game Commercial Services Board. I'm a master guide, and I've made a living in the guide industry for many years. I actually got started in it in 1965, the first year I came to Alaska. So I have lots of history, and I've served 2 years since the board's been reinstated. The board is working very well together, and it's been a positive experience for me. I think so for the other board members as well. We're working well together, and I'm willing to serve another term.
Excellent. Any questions for Mr. Rohrer? Representative Gatto?
Yeah, Mr. Rohrer, your application is dated July of 05. That's the one I have in front of me here. And apparently it was an application to the previous governor. Is that the current one that you submitted?
I did not submit another one. Nothing would have changed since that first application.
Okay.
So there's, they have no new information. If you have specific questions relating to that, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, no fish and game violations by you, children, or employees?
That is correct. Not only no violations, no charges, no convictions. Clean record for all the years I've been here.
Not even an accusation?
No.
Okay.
Any other questions? Comments? Mr. Moore, thank you, and thank you for your willingness to serve as well.
Well, you're quite welcome. Let me just assure you, as I did the former governor, there's nothing in my record that will bring embarrassment to the legislature or to the governor.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We need all that we can get.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is any other questions, comments before we move on? Any other business to come before the committee? This could, in fact, be a record. Oh, sorry, Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, you'd like a motion to move these forward?
I think that's appropriate, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the nomination that the committee has reviewed the applications of Leif Wilson and Richard Rohr for the Big Game Commercial Services Board and that we should forward those on to the joint session for consideration.
Okay. And then we also have the Bob Bittler, Big Game,
too. All four.
Do you want all four of them in one?
Might as well do it all at once. We have one paper to sign. So.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we submit the names of Mr. Robert Bell and Mr. Ben Grusendorf for the Board of Game, and that we've reviewed their qualifications and submit them for consideration by a joint session of the legislature.
Are there any objections, any desire to take these up individually? Hearing none, so moved. Any other business? With that, we stand adjourned in record time. Thank you.